already did it.
There you go. Look, see, you're so good at dealing with wine bottles.
Well, I mean, that's my job.
For somebody who spends a lot of time around wine, I hate dealing with wine bottles. I don't like opening it. I just want it to come already done, right?
She does a lot of twist tops.
Yes, I do a lot of screw-top wines.
Screw-top wines. I think she's, like, extolling upon the virtues of screw-top wines, you know. But it's just because she doesn't want to open up a bottle of wine.
It's true. Sipping on Sondheim while belting up Bordeaux. Pairing the best wine and picking the next show. Here Broadway guests end up acting like loons. This you can find here on Tennyson Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the fight dies, whether June's or moon's, I simply turn to my favorite thing, and they are a Tennyson Tunes. Welcome to Tennyson Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. Jimmy, it's been so long.
It's been too long.
Since I've seen you.
I know. What have you been up to?
Not much. I slept since I saw you. Friends, I am in New York, and we decided that while I was here, we were going to get a bunch of episodes done together so that we wouldn't have to bore you with the Skype details.
Yeah, we've just been hanging out. I think we're going to kill each other by the end.
Probably.
Just seeing each other
this
way
is the
too much.
End of the podcast.
We both take the bottles of wine and just like smash them on the ground and then start fighting, just like put them through each other's jugular. Hi, moms.
Hey, mom. Well, Jimmy, I would ask how your week was, but I already heard about it. So how was your evening? What did you do last night?
It was lovely. I had dinner with a friend who from L.A. She came to New York because
lovely.
She's a publicist for Disney.
How lovely.
Yeah, so we like, and she was like she's like an old dance friend of mine. So we all like reminisced about how we're old and fat now. Instead of the young, trim people that used to, kids that would dance like for 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know?
Well, speaking of dance, I have gone to 2 dance classes since you saw me.
What? What?
Yeah. So
I just sat on the couch. I was like, oh, I did my thing for the day. I'm done.
One of my favorite things about New York is taking class, and I have favorite teachers. And so I went and took a Pilates class with my favorite teacher at Equinox. And then the great thing about Equinox in New York versus Equinox in Dallas and in other cities is that they offer really great dance classes with really great teachers. And so I went and took class last night with Rosie.
Rosie!
Friend of the pod.
Hi,
Rosie.
Friend of the pod, Rosie.
Rosie was teaching her jazz class last night, so I went to that. And then this morning, I went to my friend Melanie's class and did some lyrical. And she started out with, like, a really big going from a lunge straight into a tilt. And I said, oh, great. Back in New York. Here we go.
Back in New York. So your Equinox membership, I was going to say subscription, like it's Netflix or something. Your Equinox membership works for...
Yes, okay. I got the one that applies to like all the clubs so that when I was in the city, I didn't have to be beholden to one spot, especially because I don't know why the first club that I went to was on the east side.
Yep.
I don't live on the east side. I go nowhere near the east side.
That's an exercise in
of
itself.
Days, right?
Just to get there.
So I needed to get the one that I could go to a bunch of different places, but it also applies to when I'm in Dallas. And so when I visited for Christmas and things, I could still work out. And I'm glad that I did that so that when I made my move, I didn't have to worry about anything.
That's wonderful. This episode brought to you by Equinox.
I wish.
I
definitely told my students that if they would get us sponsored by Blue Apron, that I would give them an A on their exam.
So get on that.
Jimmy, are
Jessica,
you ready?
I'm so ready.
For our guest.
Yes.
Because she's wonderful. I have known this person for a long time.
I have just met her.
But you're already best friends.
We're already best friends. We're already getting an apartment together.
So give it up for my friend, Antoinette Comer.
Yay! Woo!
Wow. It's that I'm so excited you were here.
I'm excited to be here.
Especially because I haven't seen you in so long.
Right? It's like we went from seeing each other almost everywhere. And then it's just like, bye, Jessica.
Right? So, Jimmy, the funny thing about Antoinette and I is our lives literally just crossed for a couple years.
Yep.
It's like we were out of town in the same place at the same time, like working. Yep. We were both in Valdosta at the same time.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about forever ago.
Right. Like, that was while I was in college. I think you were in college as well.
I just finished.
Right.
I just graduated.
Yep. You were working at Peach State, and I was over at Wild Adventures theme park.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so you weren't even in the same, like, production or thing. You were just in the same area.
We were just in the same, and the same thing in Lancaster.
In Lancaster. Like, we've actually never worked together. We've just always worked near each other or around each other.
Were you there when I was there?
Yes, she was in Sight and Sound.
Yes.
You're in Sight and Sound.
Yeah, we were doing Cats.
Yeah, yep. What were you, Cats?
Okay, I saw Cats because a friend of mine, he was the Mistopheles Michael.
Michael!
Spinny Cat. I call it Spinny Cat.
Spinny Cat.
And then I got to know Denzel as well. So
Denzel.
Denzel, yep. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah. That's so funny. Literally that time in Lancaster has like shaped all of us as people, I feel
pretty
like.
Much.
Valid. Yeah. And we can leave it at that.
Moving on.
Great. I definitely want to get into some wine while you and I discuss also another weird thing that we have in common. So you did Dreamgirls in Korea.
I did.
Which I want to hear so much about. But the crazy thing is that you did it with Candace Woods.
I did.
Who's from my hometown.
Ah!
Right? And one of the reasons that I continued to go into musical theater was because somebody from my town was doing it and like being successful at it. And she graduated just a couple years before me from a high school that not my high school, but a local high school.
Right.
And I was like, okay, if she can do it and if she can be on Broadway, then like I can keep going for this because people from Garland, Texas can be on Broadway.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to tell her you said that. Actually, I'm going to have her listen to this.
Exactly. There you go. There you go.
I'm not going to talk to you. Listen to this podcast.
Like, here, kid.
Right? So when I saw that you were doing that and then I saw her name, I was like, yes, of course, full circle. Yeah. Antoinette and I cannot not be in each other's lives.
Right. Oh, that is so amazing. I love Candace.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
I want to open the wine, but I first want to look. I want us to look at the wine bottle, because it's like it's three dimensional. Like in,
it is.
I mean, yes.
It's real.
It's a three dimensional bottle. No, but it's like engraved and raised, and there's like a little like an actual chateau.
Well, it's a chateau. we're talking about a Chateau Neuf de Pape today, which we actually highlighted on our first episode, I believe, or one of our first episodes was a Chateau Neuf de Pape.
If I wasn't in it, it wasn't an episode.
Right. Nothing started until Jimmy starts, which is not true.
Sorry.
And wines that are from Chateau Neuf de Pape means that they're coming from a tiny region in France. Like, literally, I don't know how many square miles, but it's very small. And so they have a really unique way of making their bottles because they're so unique anyway. Yeah, here we go.
So anticlimactic, I thought.
Oh, no. No, it's not. This is the Lou Frégeux Chateau Neuf de Pape, the 2010 vintage. So this is near Mont Ventoux, close to the city of Orange in France, on the estate of Lou Frégeux. And the guy who creates this wine, his name is Sergei Chastan, I think is his name. And in 1982, he created this estate, which is actually, in terms of France, an estate created in 1982 is super recent. It's like, in Broadway musical terms, it's like somebody doing a revival of Oklahoma today.
Oh.
Isn't there a revival of Oklahoma right now?
Like
Brooklyn?
Brooklyn? Yes,
right?
There is.
Yeah,
I keep seeing, and it's like Gap models who are like in it, like,
right.
It's all black and white, and it's like, oh, this is the sexy Oklahoma.
Nah.
Oh.
Oh my god!
Dirty Secrets, Oklahoma. We killed a guy. That's in the show, people.
Oh
and then they just cover it up and have a barnyard dance.
They do. Yeah.
Love that show.
Le Frégeau means the round pebble in French, and it comes from the terroir of the area, so like the earth of the area. Let's go ahead and smell this.
Yeah.
I knew this would be the perfect wine.
It's warm.
Oh, right?
Yes. I love this in the fall.
I love that word, warm.
Warm.
Yeah.
I love like a warm.
So this is coming from a ton of grapes. So I'm going to try to say some of them. So we have, we're going to attempt here. It's 53% Grenache, so it's mostly Grenache. But it also has Mourvèdre, it has Bacaris, it has Conuit, it has Syrah, Terroir Noir, and Muscardin. Like, so many grapes are making up this
wine.
It's
too many grapes.
It's too many grapes.
That's too many grapes to be in a wine.
Too many grapes for a wine. But it has that plummy characteristic of Grenache.
Yeah, it looks plummy. It's dark, it's deep.
Yeah, definitely full-bodied and a fuller red.
It smells, there's smokiness, but there's also, like, fruitiness, and, like, dark fruits, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Let's go ahead and smell this.
Yeah. Mm. I'm a fan.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, deep fruits, but still kind of medium bodied. It's not super heavy, super long finish.
Yeah.
But what I like about it is it's still kind of crisp. Like, even with that smoky characteristic, it's still crisp.
Yeah.
It was an interesting aftertaste. And like an after.
Like the finish?
The finish. I think, but even after because the finish mutated. It evolved.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Definitely.
You know? It's also meaty was a term I would use.
Yes, definitely. Like hearty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, it has a long fermentation. So it ferments for about 3 weeks. And then it's...
That's too long.
Too long.
Give me that wine. Give me that wine now.
And then it's poured into these big oak barrels where it rests for about 12 months.
Love those oaks.
Love that oak.
You love that oak. Is this whole cluster as well?
Honestly, I don't know. I know that the estate started doing organic farming with this vintage in 2010.
Jessica, you need to know everything. This is how tannin tunes go. You do all the work and all the research, and I come in and drink the wine, all right? That's how the relationship works.
I'm sorry that I'm not up to your high standards, Jimmy. Like I said, or like Jimmy said, by the end of this, no more podcast.
There's no more podcast. No. This is the beginning of the end.
The tannins on this are really cool because you can taste them like gripping in your mouth. So tannins, remember, that's the seeds and the skins and everything that's involved in the must and how that feels, like the mouth feel of that. But the acidity helps it kind of go away, but they're still kind of grippy tannins.
Yeah.
They're like, I just don't want to hang out, guys. Don't let go. Bye, friends.
That's exactly what's happening in my mouth.
Right?
But maybe they're like, I'm a stock meaty tannins. Oh, no.
It's a little spicy. Am I the only one?
No, I like it.
Just a little bit, especially towards when she gets to the end.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. Oh, this is going to be good, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
is it dark and meaty and spicy like our show that we're talking about?
Dark, meaty, and spicy.
Yes. So let's get into it. Let's get into Smokey Joe's Cafe.
All right.
So I'm really excited to hear your experience with it. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved.
Okay. Well, it was pretty standard. I got an appointment and started to go through the audition process. I had about 4 different rounds of auditions.
Wow.
That's too many rounds of auditions.
It's a lot of rounds of auditions.
No, people, audition, callback, done. All right.
Yeah, no, this had layers. So Initially, I was going in for the role of Brenda, which is now Dion. So in the original cast of Smokey Joe's, everybody used their own name. So that's what they've done for the revival is everyone uses their own name. And so after I did that audition, they were like, hey, actually, we would like to look at you for The Standby. And that meant I had to take on what I think is the most challenging song in the show, Fools Fall in Love. Which was originally created by B.J. Crosby, and she did that. So right. I had to kind of take that on, and so we had different rounds of singing that, and another round of dancing, and then another round in front of at least 30 people. Those final callbacks, everybody and their mother and their grandmother, they're like, hey, you know what? I have this little callback today where I have to sit and watch. So everybody just kind of come in. And so that's
you're a little pitchy right there, miss. I wouldn't go and call her back.
Oh. It's okay, Grandma.
But anyway, so I ended up getting the job. So I'm one of the female standbys. Primarily, I cover the two singer tracks, so Alicia Umphress and Nicole Vanessa Ortiz. And so in that process, we did an out-of-town tryout at a Gunkwit Playhouse, which was a really interesting experience. I've only been to Maine like one other time, and there wasn't a lot going on when we were there. We got there. We were in that slot that was right before busy season, so it was ourselves. we were a Gunkwit Maine at that time.
Right.
But it was great. I've been able to work with Josh Burgas. He's our director and our choreographer, and he's amazing.
He's amazing.
He's really, really amazing and very talented. And one of the most special parts about this process was we actually got to work with Mike Stoller. So
That's so cool.
Sat in our rehearsals. He was there going, okay, that's not the lyric I wrote. Please correct this.
Yeah, it's not the lyric I wrote. And his grandma's there like, yeah, it wasn't the lyric, honey.
Yeah, but it was really, really special having him there because when you think about it, like in my mind, I think of all of these songs happening like so long ago because you have Hound Dog, Jailhouse Rock on Broadway. But the man who wrote them is still alive and kicking.
Right.
And he was just as passionate about our production as he was in the beginning. We have the same producers as the original Broadway cast. And it's just been a really, really special process to be part of and watch everyone kind of grow into it and make their own spin on the music. Yeah.
Well, for our listeners, so Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller were the lyricists and composers of all of these songs, and Smokey Joe's Cafe is a review based on these songs. So it doesn't have a through storyline per se, but all the songs fit together, and there are different arrangements that are done of them.
It's Cats, but cooler.
It's Cats.
No,
same thing. Totally
Cats. Same thing.
Here's the thing, is that Cats does have a storyline, as we learned.
As we learned in our beautiful director-choreographer's mind, which honestly, like, thank goodness she gave us that plot, because I wouldn't have been, if I just did a regular production of Cats, I would have, like, shot myself in the head. But at least I could be like, okay, I know what's going on right now, and there's a through line. And
there is a story. Well, and this show has been so important to a lot of people because it ran for so long.
Yeah.
It opened in 1995 and it ran for over 2,000 performances.
I thought you were going to say 2,000 years. And I'm like, that's way too many years.
Too many years. It opened with Jesus.
Yeah.
On the cross.
Jesus is a good tenor. He's got a high tenor voice.
Oh my goodness.
So tell us a little bit about being a standby, because that is not something that I think many of our listeners know about, like what that's like.
All right. Well, when you are a standby, that means you do not perform in the show every night and you very literally, stand by backstage just in case something happens.
You don't get to perform
someone
in the show? I don't like this show.
Yeah, don't get to do it every day. I have been able to do both of the tracks that I primarily do a few times each. But essentially, there are four of us, so there's two men, two women, and we have to know every track, every mm-hmm. harmony line, and be able to jump in at a moment's notice if need be. Fortunately for me, a moment's notice has not had to happen to me, but one of our guys had to do that. He got his notice that he was going on 10 minutes to curtain.
Ooh.
So they were like, all right, bruh, put on a costume.
Uh-uh.
Let's go.
No, no, thank you.
So it's a very exciting job because you never know what you're going to do or when you're going to get to perform. So it's kind mm-hmm. of, it's been good for my own discipline to just always be ready. Yeah. So I'm always warmed up. I'm always like checking my list and everything that I probably normally wouldn't do if I was performing every day,
right.
But it's caused me to be just a little bit more vigilant about doing what I need to do.
You do know that we're going to be doing a production of it right now.
Oh, right,
on, you're right,
right
now.
Right this second.
all nine roles. Got it.
Yeah, you're doing everything.
Everyone.
She's researching and I'm just drinking wine.
Right.
So.
Now, what's the difference between a standby and an understudy, or a standby versus a swing, that type of thing?
Oh, good.
And how does that look in your show?
In our show, it's a little bit different from what, like, because everybody in the show is considered a principal, and we're all under principal mm-hmm. contracts. Usually you would use the word understudy for someone who is in the ensemble and covers a principal role. Whereas with this, everybody's a principal role, and there's no ensemble.
Right.
So they call us standbys, but in a way we're also kind of called understudies because we are at the theater every day.
Right.
Certain standby contracts, the standby can just be within a certain mile radius. I don't know the actual number.
Yeah.
And so they can just kind of get a call whenever and they just pop in.
I knew a guy who had was drinking a beer at a bar and just like, oh, I got to finish this beer. I guess I'm going on stage now.
And that could happen too. But for us, because the show, what they've done with the revival is they cut it to 90 minutes.
Right.
So because of, I really think because of that, if something were to happen during the show, they'd need us there. And we're all the way over on like 10th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of have
that's
to be
too far.
Bit.
There's no like hanging out in Times Square.
Yeah.
This is the podcast episode of things being too this or too that. All right. That's too
and
far.
Everything is so fast moving. Yeah. Like I don't know if you guys have had the opportunity to see the show, but especially our gentlemen, they do not leave the stage.
Right.
And they just buckets and buckets of sweat going there. So,
which you can buy at the merchandise booth after the show,
which
right?
Which you can buy at the merchandise booth in three bottles. But then also, to answer your question, a swing. So a swing is someone who covers the ensemble members of a musical. Mm-hmm. And so they can sometimes also cover a principal role, but will usually step in for the ensemble members, but are also not performing every single night.
Mm-hmm.
So three to a little variation.
Yeah, I love that. Well, because we've talked a lot about swings and understudies and things like that, but not necessarily what a standby means.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had a standby before.
Yeah. That is so awesome, though. And what is your, like, when you do go on, what is the number that you look forward to the most?
Oh, my goodness. I love the song I Keep Forgetting. It's one of Alicia's songs, and I don't know. It's actually my personal favorite song in the show.
I keep forgetting you don't love me no more. I keep forgetting you don't want me no more. I keep forgetting that you told me that you didn't want me around anymore. But these stupid old streets just hit me on streets like they've done so many times before. And the stubborn old fist at the end of my fist keeps knocking on your front door. I keep forgetting you don't love me.
It's simple, it's short, but I love that because the staging for it, she's up in this little like tower like mm-hmm. thing that I like to call it, and it's one of her first solo numbers where it's just her on stage. And I don't know, I really like that, having being like, this is my introduction, so now you're going to hear me belt my face off. But, yeah, it's my favorite song. It's one of the songs that I knew ahead of time jumping into the show, and it's just really cool.
Awesome. How do you keep yourself healthy when you're a standby?
I work out. Actually, yeah. Right now, me and a good friend of mine, we've been doing the Insanity Max 30 videos. Yes. I don't need to do all that, but I am right now.
That's too much.
It's a lot. It's
Insanity
a lot.
Insanity Max?
Insanity Max 30. I recommend not eating breakfast beforehand. Found that out the hard way. I was like, why am I so nauseous? But yeah, I try to exercise at least 5 times a week. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of stretching. I have like my little nook in the stairwell at the theater, and so I'm always there stretching, moving, and warming up vocally.
Yeah.
Because the tracks that I cover, they're not easy to jump into if you haven't done a lip trill that day.
So, what? Yeah. You just don't go out and like can belt your face off?
Okay, I'm good.
So I'm like, more break.
All right, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still try to take voice lessons when I can. So I try to do once a month if I'm really being good.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, I feel like in New York, too, it comes down to, like, do I have that extra $150 right now?
Mm-hmm. It's like sometimes it'd be easier. It's like, let me just give you my left arm.
Right? Right? You give me my voice. It's like Ursula.
Yeah.
But belting.
I'm a good singer, guys.
Mr. Skimbleshanks over here. Okay, other things that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk for a second about Mamma Mia. And though we already did a like full-on episode with, do you know Tyler McKenzie?
Sure do.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. We've done Mamma Mia. We've had Rebecca Mason Weigel. You know Rebecca? You know Weigel?
Rebecca!
Friend of the pod. She was on. And then we also did Mamma Mia 2.
Awesome. Yes, we did talk about Mamma Mia 2. So we are a Mamma Mia loving.
We are a Mamma loving.
Yes. But I want to hear about your experience because you were in the closing show.
Yes.
What?
It closed on Broadway.
What?
Yeah.
That was definitely a night I will truly never forget. What they did for our final performance, or really the final day, we had two shows. And so the matinee performance was kind of like a regular, just like a regular show where anybody could buy tickets. But they closed off the final performance to just alumni. And Mamma Mia ran for all of forever. It was going on 15 years. And so there were a lot of people who were involved. So not just Broadway, but like people from all of the tours, the Vegas companies, the original creators of the show, and then, of course, we were allowed to bring, like, one guest. But magical is the only word that I can use to describe it, because you're already emotional, because for me, I was like, this was my Broadway debut, and I had been part of Mamma Mia for 2 years, Broadway for 1 year, and then tour for 1 year. And every entrance, it was just screams and people cheering and just going like, oh, my gosh, that used to be my track, that used to be my track. It was just like so many different memories going through. Our leading lady, Judy McLean, I don't know how she held it together. She has her big solo, The Winner Takes It All. And we were all standing there crying, and she's just a beast. Like, great, I got this. I'm going to hit this note. Yes, and it was amazing. But
sucking up tears back up into her eyeballs. Just like, not today.
Yeah. And during the finale, because we have the mega mix at the end, I don't think I had ever danced as hard in my life. Because it was really one of those moments where everybody was like, you know, my knee may be hurting, my joints may be creaking, but you know what? I'm gonna give it everything I have. And it was electrifying. The audience was on their feet. We had glitter and confetti cannons at the end, and it was that night after we went to the after party, I think I rolled in with the sun, because it was just that night. It was like, I don't want to forget this. Yeah. I really don't ever want to forget this.
Oh, that's so cool. And you said it was your Broadway debut. Yeah. How was that? I mean, I'm sure it is a very similar audition process to what you went through for Smokey Joe's, but what was that like?
No, this is a story I actually really love to tell.
Yeah.
I say that God did it, because that's the only way I can describe it. So I was originally on the non-union tour of Mamma Mia, and I got that through going back and forth to New York, because I actually did not live in New York at the time. I was working in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. So I literally came back and forth to New York to do all of my different callbacks, and I found out that I had gotten the tour. And after being on the road for a year, I decided, I was like, you know what? I think I'm ready to move to New York. I want to do this. And so I put in my notice and said that I wasn't going to be doing the second year. And we had like a weird addendum at the end of our contract. So we finished up in the U.S. and then we had like a month off. And then we did a month in, Colombia. I was like, why am I blanking on it?
That's right,
Colombia.
Yeah.
And so while I was in Colombia, I started getting these emails from Tara Rubin Casting saying that there was a slot open on Broadway. What was my availability? Would I be interested in? Now, at that point, I had booked a production of Dreamgirls out in Oregon during that break off. And I was like, but I could totally do this. And they're like, this isn't an offer. We're just trying to gauge what your availability is. And I'm like, okay, I know people don't just get emails like this. What's going on? So while we're in Colombia, our creative team was there and they were just kind of, we were saying goodbye and they were like, yeah, so we might see you again in New York soon. Wink, but like an actual wink. And I was like, wait, what do you know? But then by then they had already walked away. I know. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? So I was like, trying not to get my hopes up because right. I was like, I don't know if this will actually happen or not. But this is where I say this was like just a true God moment. So I leave the production to go do Dreamgirls because it was literally like I left the show a day early to do Dreamgirls. And my first day of rehearsal, I get a call, and I'm like having a conversation with someone about how I don't live in New York, but my plan is to move to New York after the contract is over. And it's Eric Woodall, and he's telling me, he was like, so we would like to offer you the ensemble understudy alley slot in Mamma Mia Broadway. We are aware that you are in a production of Dreamgirls right now, so what we have done is we have hired a girl to hold your spot so you can finish the show, and when you're done, come on over to New York. When I fell to the ground, and I couldn't even start crying at that moment because I was like, wait, because this doesn't happen. If you're unavailable, if you're doing something else, they're like, all right, on to the next.
Bye.
A girl made her Broadway debut for 2 months so I could do my production of Dreamgirls. And I was like, and that's why I tell people, I was like, but not only just not give up on your dreams, but if it truly is for you, it's for you. Mm-hmm. And God will work it out so, in a way that you know it was him doing it.
Exactly. And,
but that you know it's supposed to be for you. And so that journey was so special because I was like, I could come to New York going, I'm supposed to be here.
And how beautiful also is your story helped another person realize her dream of her Broadway debut.
Well, and Mamma Mia has been so good to do that. Like, so many people made their Broadway debut with Mamma Mia. And I think that that's special to the casting team and special to the creative team and everybody taking that chance on new faces. And I love that. And it's such
a chance on them.
Yeah. Well, and we also talked about that when we were watching Mamma Mia 2, that it is probably, or at least at the time, was the most diverse cast on Broadway, with different people of different abilities and different ethnicities, and that it didn't matter because it's Mamma Mia.
Yeah. Like we're all just here kicking our faces singing ABBA, so.
Right? And it doesn't matter if, like,
sparkly outfits and just love and light.
Right? Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you've been on Broadway for 20 years or 2 months. Like, you're doing the same show.
Correct.
I love that. Well,
now that we've got some wine in us, we're going to play games right now.
See, when we're together, we can do it
well. But it's just
there's a delay.
There's a delay. I'm still going to try and get that harmony. One day I'm going to be like, I'm going to go up. And not right now.
Not today. Today is maybe not the day. So we are going to do some Broadway trivia.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right.
Okay. Here we go. So speaking of...
Just straight Broadway trivia?
I apologize to Broadway in advance.
Some Broadway trivia on longest running musicals. Hmm. So speaking of Mamma Mia and speaking of Smokey Joe's Cafe, we're going to do some long running musicals. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so whoever buzzes in first, you can pick your buzzing sound, whether it's a buzz or a bing or a blah. I don't care what it is.
mine is going to be on the cross.
I'm going to be thinking about that all day now.
Right? Okay, here we go. So this musical is currently playing on Broadway, though its longest run was 1956 through 1962. It stole the mantle of longest-running musical away from Oklahoma.
on the cross.
Yes.
Is it? Wait. What? Oh, no. I was going to be like, Phantom, that's not right.
So it's on Broadway currently.
On Broadway currently.
But its original production was in 1956.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
On the cross.
Yes.
My Fair Lady.
Yes, yeah. That is correct. That is correct. I was actually, when I was teaching my class last week, that is one of their test questions. All so right. If you were listening to this late, students, you might have gotten it wrong.
What if all of the answers to your tests are in Tannins and Toons? And it's just like, if you listen to them, if you subscribe and give us 5-star reviews, you'll ace the test.
Maybe I should do that. It's like a bonus question. Be like, if you want to get the bonus, you have to subscribe to the podcast.
Yes.
Guys, we got to make these numbers go up.
That's a great way to make it happen.
360 right. students per semester?
Yes.
Yes.
Just extort them. Extort them. That's what kids are for.
Right? Okay, number two. While the original musical only ran for 936 performances, the revival of this musical has done 91,000 performances so far, and is the longest running revival as well as the longest running show to originally premiere on Broadway.
On the cross.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, go for it.
Chicago.
Yeah. Also, they tout themselves as being the longest running American musical.
Yeah.
Really? Which is true. Find really funny.
Okay.
Find really funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. This was the first revival to match its original for 1,000 performances, and the revival went on to do close to 6,000 performances. It is the longest running revival of a review. This one is hard. This was really hard.
Revival of a review.
Mm-hmm.
People were real naked in it, and it's not hair.
Oh, that. Damn it.
Yeah.
Oh.
People were really naked
in it.
Oh. On the cross.
Go for it.
Is it Naked Boy Singing?
No.
Oh.
Close, though. That was a good guess. That was a good guess. This one's really hard.
Is this on Broadway?
No. Yeah.
These are Broadway shows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except for, I think, one.
Naked Review.
Naked Review.
Is it Naked Review?
No. It is O Calcutta.
What?
Yeah.
I never would have guessed that.
Screw you.
No, it's true, literally in, like, that. The top 10.
But
it's crazy, but yeah. Well, if you were
Why
in my class,
naked?
You would know it.
Yeah, well, I'm not in your class, all right? I'm an adult. All right?
And also clothed.
Also, no. Parents, send me money. I'm an adult.
Okay, we'll go back to easy ones.
Yeah.
Okay, this musical won the Pulitzer Prize in 1976 and a special award in 1984 for becoming the longest-running musical. It ran from 1975 to 1990.
90? Oh, gosh.
So 1976. It's a big year.
Because I don't know it.
Cross.
Go for it. Yeah.
A Chorus Line.
That is correct.
They closed in 90?
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
We were babies.
Yeah. Yes, actual babies. That's the one that I get confused with the original and the revival.
And the revival.
Yeah.
Because the revival actually only ran for 2 years.
Yes.
But the original was like forever long.
Still like not a collective, but like still like frenetic mm-hmm. and amazing, and like people mm-hmm. say such good things about that revival.
Yeah,
yeah, because they throw me off when they revive stuff like real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very true.
That's when they like revive things off Broadway after closing on Broadway
right.
6 months earlier.
Yeah,
Jersey then, Boys coat.
I was like, it's still running. They just shrunk it down.
Right,
they just shrunk it down.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. At 8,700 performances, this show is the highest grossing show in Broadway history.
Ooh. Okay, Buzz.
Yeah.
This is a pure get in Broadway history?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Lion King?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
8,700 performances.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know what, like, number, like, if, like, Phantom is number one longest, and mm-hmm. like, what is Lion King?
So Lion King is 8,700. It is the third
It's one of them.
Yeah,
it's one
isn't of them.
Hold
like,
on, I have the list right here.
Isn't what like Chicago the second?
Chicago. So it's. I'll give you the top three since we've already answered them. Well, and we know that Phantom is the longest running with 12,774.
Yeah.
Chicago is number two, and then Lion King.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was like, Lion King is still, like, selling out.
Right?
Selling out.
Okay, here we go. Les Mis is the fifth longest running show. It ran for 6,700 performances from 1987 to 2003. This show opened in 2003, and it has about a year until it will move from number six to number five.
Oh, I think Buzz.
Yeah.
This is Wicked, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Whoa. That was like that one I know.
So it's going to usurp?
Yes, it will. If it wow. stays open.
Yeah, true. If it stays open.
I mean,
it will.
Forever. It's a Chicago. It's a Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom. It's going to be around.
It's a Lion King. It's a mainstay.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, here we go. Last question. The longest running jukebox musical on Broadway.
Buzz.
Yeah.
Smokey Joe's.
Nope.
No, it's not. It's oh, wait, hold on. It's Mamma Mia.
It's Mamma Mia. Yeah, like, it's Mamma Mia. Yeah. Smokey Joe's is the is the longest running review.
Yes.
Yeah. On Broadway.
Can I
there you go.
Have a little talking about? So it was just announced that Kinky Boots is closing in April.
Yes.
And when it closes, it will be the 25th longest running musical in American Broadway history.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that crazy?
And I felt like that was there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been
But we have to remember all of the shows that were in the, like, 50s and 60s. Like, Fiddler on the Roof is still one of the longest-running musicals, even though that was back in 1959.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it ran for forever.
I think nowadays it's like, oh, it's run for 2 years? That's so good. That's so good. Good for you.
Well, and see, I feel like when I'm going back in history, like, things in the 60s that ran for 2 years, I'm like, hey, that did pretty well. Yeah. And now I'm like, well, something has to run for like 10 years to get in the minds of people.
Yeah, into the minds like, of, yeah.
That's in pop culture, whereas right. something could right. run for much shorter in the 1950s and early part of the 60s to be a part of pop culture and people would buy the cast recordings, and now it has to be around for like a billion years.
Yeah.
True.
I don't know.
Crazy.
There's still people. Before we wrap up, is there anything else?
Go ahead.
I was just saying, what have been like favorite moments of the production so far? Any fun stories? Any
let's see.
Any fun or terrible stories?
Or
scary story.
Scary story.
It's Halloween. We can do a scary story.
I love scary stories, but oh my goodness. Well, I really can't complain about the show. Like it's really great. I will say this isn't really related to the show itself,
that's okay.
but with it being such a small cast, it's been a bit of a relief for me because I like smaller casts.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we did our out-of-town tryout, we had a great opportunity to kind of like bond and really get to know each other, and I think that helps with what everyone will come to see the show and see on stage because, again, like we're playing ourselves. And so it helps when you have those different connections with people. And, I think it shows, like, especially the cast that performs every single day. The few times that I do get out and I go and watch it, it's really magical because you see genuine friendships. Like, it's not a bunch of actors up there pretending. Like, they really all get along and, like, love each other.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really, really special. But, yeah, I'm trying to think of stuff that's crazy. I mean, we haven't been doing it too long for anything to have really just been just out of whack.
Right.
Something I do want to mention.
Yeah.
Our band is fantastic, and our band is very integrated into the show, and so they come on stage a lot. I sit next to our bassist. Her name is Yuka, and she's wonderful. And so a few times that I get to go on for Alicia's track, they do kind of like a duet with her singing, and then she's playing the bass, and it's just
cool.
Really cool. And so I think people who are musicians or who have like an instrument that they love will really, really enjoy our show because they really, really highlight our musicians in this production.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so much fun. Tell me, just because we've been talking about this with other shows, the difference between off-Broadway audiences and Broadway audiences, and you've experienced both.
Yeah.
Do you think that there is a difference? Do you feel a difference?
Not really. It's still your general like theater audience. One thing I experienced more with Mamma Mia is since it had been running for so long, we were dealing with fans. Like, there were people who would come to the show in a full Dynamo costume, like, ready to go. And with Smokey Joe's, you still do have some of those fans from the original who are coming back to see it. But right now we're getting a lot of just, like, general theater goers who are like, oh, let's go see Smokey Joe's. It's right over here. But definitely you had that fan, strong Mamma Mia fan base coming to see the show.
Those people are like, I could do it. They're in the costume. Like,
and sometimes, because I remember we had a contest one time, or it was like, I think it was something donation-based, where you could come and do like a walk-on role in the show.
What?
That girl was, we made her whole day. Her mom made her costume, and she looked great. Like, she completely fit into the show.
Give a costume to them. They were just like, I have one. To.
She had it ready. And again, very well done. She was like, great, I know this scene, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to go to the wedding. And I said, get it.
Great, great girl. Yeah. Here you go. Yeah. This goes on your resume. Mm-hmm.
I put on my resume.
Maybe that's what I can do. Yeah. I can just get a bunch of walk-on roles and be like, yes, I've been on Broadway. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. My agent can book me for stuff a little bit more easily.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Antoinette, for coming and hanging out.
Thank you for having me.
Telling us all about Smokey Joe's. So where can people come and see it?
Okay, we are at Stage 42, so we're on 42nd Street and Dyer. You can get your tickets at the box office or at SmokeyJoesMusical.com.
I love it.
Yay.
And where can people follow you on social media?
Okay, so on Instagram, which is the one I use the most, is at Nettie, N-E-T-T-Y, 3311. So there's that. Or just search me on Facebook, Antoinette Comer.
There you go.
Love it.
And Jimmy, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson and Instagram at Jimmy Robertson.
And you can find me at JMHumphrey1 on all of the things. And you can follow Tannins and Tunes on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and our website. And send us an email at tannins@gmail.com with any shows that you want to see us take on, or wines that you want us to pair with, or anything that you're up to and you just want to share your life.
Yeah, what are you doing? What are you up to?
What you drinking?
What you drinking? How's that test?
And then
how's your professor? I hear from the beat.
I promise that I will forward all of those emails to Jimmy. If you want to hash out how I'm doing in class, you can let Jimmy know.
I would so love to hear that.
Extra credit. Right?
Extra credit.
I'll find my own, like, offside podcast where it's just me, like, reading them.
Oh, that would actually be amazing.
Tannins and Tunes. A Redux or whatever.
Well, and you can go on to iTunes or Stitcher and leave us reviews. And if you leave us a review, we will pair your username with a wine. So make sure that you do that. And any review that is left, we donate $1 towards fire relief in Napa, Sonoma counties. So definitely go on and do that.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Should we all finish with an On the Cross?
Let's
Five,
do
six,
it.
Seven, eight.
On the cross.
On the cross. I said I won't last too long. On the cross. On the cross. I'll catch a Greyhound bus for home. They all say.